Let's turn to 2 Timothy this morning. And I wanted to look at a powerful little phrase that Paul shares with his spiritual son, Timothy. And this is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And we're very familiar with how he starts this. And, well, we're familiar with the other part too. But where he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." And thank God for that, right? That we don't have to submit to that fear that the enemy wants to bring upon us. But he has given us, we can kind of imply from that, he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit he's given to us. That's the spirit he wants us to flow in. All right, so we know what we're not supposed to flow in. And we know what we are to flow in, of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You know, God wants us to have power to overcome. He wants us to have power to love. You know, one of the messages at convention was on loving the Lord. And, you know, it was a good reminder that God is love and he desires love. And then this last phrase, and this is the one I actually want to look at. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. That's kind of an interesting way to put it. You know, like when he's talking about the spirit that is to be upon us, the spirit of a sound mind. What does that even mean? Right? we know what a mind is. We know, you know, having a sound mind means like you're not crazy. But to have a spirit of a sound mind. Well, that's what I want to look at with you this morning. You know, we often think of the list of the seven spirits in Isaiah 11. But, you know, there's other aspects to the Holy Spirit and how he wants to move in us, right? In Ephesians 1, it talks about the spirit of revelation. He wants to open our eyes. In Hebrews 10, there's the spirit of grace, right, where his grace flows upon us. In Revelation, it talks about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? And so there's these different aspects of the Holy Spirit where he wants to move upon us, he wants to flow in us. And so in 2 Timothy, we see these other aspects of the Holy Spirit. You know, we want the spirit of power, and we need that aspect of him moving in our lives in the last day. We absolutely need the spirit of love, right? If there's no love, then we're in trouble, right? Then we're just empty. We're just a tinkling, you know, like the King James, a tinkling brass, a sounding cymbal. Did I switch that or did I get that right? I can't remember. But the Spirit, one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of a sound mind. And so Paul is again, as I said, sharing this with his son Timothy. He had walked with Paul for several years at this point. But even as Timothy, he was set apart as a, you know, as a minister of the gospel, probably kind of as an apostle himself to be over churches and to raise up churches. And he had something to overcome, we know from Paul's letters, right? He was kind of encouraging, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. And he had to overcome that. And so here Paul is sharing with him, you don't have to allow that spirit of fear to dwell upon you because God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. You know, so he was encouraging him to cast off. You know, that's even the word of the Lord this morning. You know, in prophecy, the Lord said to cast off that discouragement and that heaviness. And so often that starts in our mind, doesn't it? Right? You can probably even think of times you're discouraged, and how did it start? All right, it started with either something someone said to us or a thought that came in. Right? And as soon as you said, maybe that's true, whoomp, it just hits your spirit, hits your soul, and there it rests. And you kind of feel like that, the idea of that little sheep that's turned on his back and you can't get back up on your feet. And you're like, oh, what do I do? That's a different subject, how to get back up. You know, David shares that in the Psalms. But wouldn't it be great if we could be so strong that we didn't allow it to happen in the first place? And that's what Paul's talking about here, the spirit of a sound mind or a strong mind. Because our thought life is so important, Right? These things come through our thoughts. And fear is one of our worst enemies to the thought life. And that's why Paul is saying that to Timothy. Right? Fear is the enemy. It'll keep us from doing the will of God. Paul says elsewhere, Romans 8, in verse 15, he says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Right? Because that's what fear is. Fear is a bondage. Fear is a terrible torment. Right? When you fear, it's a torment. But God's promise to us is that's not the bondage we are to be under. Well, we're not to be under any bondage, really, except as slaves, as servants of Christ. But we have not received that spirit. We have received the spirit of a sound mind. And so that spirit, aspect of the Holy Spirit, helps to deliver us and set us free. Now, this phrase is kind of interesting in the Greek. It's actually one word repeated twice. And I'll try to pronounce this right. It's sophronismos. Sophronismos. You don't have to write that down. But basically, it means discipline or self-control. Now, sometimes that's not a word we like to think of. Discipline and self-control, that's not a strong point sometimes. Especially we like to be spiritual. We like to be free and right, flexible. But really, it speaks of a disciplined mind. A disciplined mind. And it comes from it's a root, or comes from another word meaning to make of a sound mind, or to discipline or correct. Teach to be sober. You know, in the area of our thoughts. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking of an aspect of the Holy Spirit that can enable us to have a change of mind, to have a strengthening in our mind, in our thought life. Because we can be held captive by wrong thoughts. Sometimes that can be such a horrible torment. You know, we just have wrong thoughts that are holding us captive and we can't get free from them. You know, Jesus, we know the story when he and his disciples traveled to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Right? They came into the country of the Gadarenes. And they met a man bound by evil spirits. Right? We know that he was bound by many spirits. And they said, "We are legion." That's a lot. And Jesus went and set him free. And they left him, went into that herd of swine, and they went over the cliff. But in Luke 8, in verse 35, and there's several accounts, but this brings something out about this man. Luke 8, 35. He was not just bound in his body or his spirit. But it says they went to see, this is the town folks, came to see Jesus, and they found this man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid at the power that they saw in Jesus, because they knew this man. But this man was held captive in his mind, in his thoughts. But when he was set free, he could think in a new way. But you know, that's really what the enemy wants to do. Now this guy, he was brought to the ultimate of being held captive by the enemy, right? Demon possession with that kind of thing. But really we're talking about, that's what the enemy wants to do in a subtle way, is to control our thought life. If he can influence and control our thought life and get us to think how he wants us to think, then he has us in bondage. But to a degree. But that degree can really affect us. It can really, you know, hold us back from victory, from entering into what God has for us. And so a sign of deliverance is victory in the mind, victory in our thoughts. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he," or "so will he be," right? Because, and we know that saying, what we think, we're going to do. And then what we do is going to affect our actions and so forth. And it eventually affects our eternity, our destiny with the Lord, his plan and his promise for us. But it starts with what we think. And so if we go back to that word sound mind, it means we get an understanding of what's developed. And really, it's that thought of discipline. That's never been mankind's favorite subject, discipline, right? Mankind does not like that. It likes to throw off discipline in the world. But really, it just means being subject to laws, to rule, to order, regulations, and so forth. I think it's interesting that what did Jesus, or what does the Bible say that we are to be? We are to be disciples. And where does that word disciple come from? It comes from the word discipline. If we're a disciple, then we're disciplined ones. That's another way to look at it. We're a follower of Christ. Are you disciplined? Well, we need to be. That's our calling. Because really, it really means we are under the rule. We're under the command of the one we're following. And so many people say, I'm a Christian, I follow the Lord. But are they under the rule and the law of the one they're following? Well, that really determines if we're a follower of Christ. And so to be true disciples of our Master, we need to cry out for the spirit of a sound mind. Because that will cause us to walk with Him in a disciplined way. We come under His covering in our thought life. So before we can be disciples, we must become disciplined in our thoughts. Now, there's many ways we can look at this, how we can become disciplined ones. But really, it's the thought life that this is bringing out, of us have a spirit of a sound mind. So I wanted to look at one of the ways Paul talks about how we can, you could say, moderate our thoughts. How can we can learn to control our thoughts? How can we keep the thoughts of the enemy out and allow the thoughts of the Spirit to dwell in us? And we've looked at this before, but I just want to revisit this passage in Philippians 4 in verse 8, because it is so important that we continually kind of come back to this place in Philippians 4, 8, and we know it as the eight gates. But in Philippians 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there's virtue and if there's praise, think on those things. And when you really consider it, these are kind of like filters. Sometimes in your house, you got to have different levels of filters. Like you start off with something to catch the big sediment, and then you get, maybe a water purifier or so forth, a water softener. You got different stages so that you can have nice, clean water. But in one sense, we need to have filters upon our mind, because that will cause our thoughts to be pure. When we have impure thoughts in any manner, it has such an effect on our spirit and our walk with the Lord. But the Lord is saying you can purify your thoughts by causing them to pass through these gates. Our biggest problem is when there's no filter, right? Sometimes our thoughts can go right into our mind, right to our mouth, or right to our heart, and there's no filter on that, and it causes such trouble. And so basically, these are questions we can ask ourselves. When a thought pops into our head, and the enemy is really good at planting little seeds in our mind to try and get maybe he'll take this one, right? And if he can get that thought, it's like a hook, and he's got us, if that thought gets implanted in us. But we can ask questions before we accept that, before we swallow that hook. We can ask some questions. And the first one, I think, is the most important. Is it true? How often have we been worried about something and, thinking about something, and it's just kind of consuming us, and come to find out it's not even true? It wasn't even right. We want to make sure we're not worrying about something that's not true, that's not correct. I think about, it was hard for Jacob to know, but I just wonder, Jacob sorrowed over his son. He thought his son was dead for so many years, and it wasn't even true. He wasn't dead. And I realize he had some sons that were deceiving him. But, you know, how often are we deceived by things that aren't even true? And, you know, I believe that God wants to show us, right? Another aspect, he's the Spirit of Truth. And if we ask him, he'll show us, Lord, is this true? Should I be concerned about this? Or should I allow this thought entrance into my mind? And the Spirit can give us witness. That's not true. It's not true. And so we want to examine. And, you know, if something's not true, we have the power. And that's what something we want to understand. God has given us the power to dismiss thoughts. They do not have to come upon us. We have the power to dismiss them. Now, sometimes we have to keep doing it over and over again. And that's wearying, right? Have you ever had a thought that just keeps coming into your mind or a song that keeps playing? It's like, get out in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we have to actively, right, pursue something else to get that out. We have to pursue the truth. Sometimes we need to go read the scriptures, and sometimes we need to pray or speak in tongues. But there's ways that we can battle those thoughts and give them no entrance, especially if they're not true. The second one is honest. Honest. Now, for the rest of these, you know, sometimes you can have a thought that passes the first test. It's true. But it's the thought, honest here gives the thought of being venerable or worthy. Worthy. Worthy of reverence, worthy of honor. You know, if a thought is honest, then it's worth thinking about because it's going to lead us on to holiness. But, you know, sometimes there's things that are true, but it's just not worth discussing. It's not worth thinking about because it's not going to edify us. It's not going to build us up. And so we want to think on those things that are worthy thoughts. In Psalm 73, the psalmist talks about his thought life and how he was considering the wicked. And he was looking at them, and from his point of view, boy, those wicked people, they're not suffering for the Lord. They're not doing what's right. I'm suffering, and I'm trying to do what's right, and I'm paying a price for it, and you know, I'm going through difficult times, and those wicked, they're just having an easy time and living it up. And that was starting to affect him. He was starting to think, is it even worth it? Because he was considering something. Yes, it was true. Yes, the wicked were not really going through it. But it wasn't a worthy thought. Of course, then he came into the house of God, and God changed his perspective. And he said, look, from your perspective, it might seem like they're having an easy time, but you just wait. Wait till I come as the just judge that sits upon the throne, and they will get the reward for their wickedness. And then he's like, okay, Lord, now I understand. But, you know, those thoughts were causing him great trouble. And so sometimes we have to come into the house of God or come into the presence of God and give him our thoughts and say, Lord, is this worthy to think about? Is this worthy to consider or to, you know, to use the word worry, but the Bible says we're not to worry about anything. But sometimes, you know, thoughts weigh upon us and we think about it and we have to say, Lord, should this remain? Of course, he came in into the presence of God and understood that the wicked, well, they're really in slippery places. They might be looking good, but they're sliding, you know, it's on the way down. And so we want to say, is this thought worthy of my meditation? And will it encourage me to be holy with God? Will it encourage me in my walk with God? If not, we cast it out. If so, we want to think upon those things that will encourage us, right? If it's not going to encourage us in God, why should we think about it? Because there's not really much middle ground, right? If it's not going to encourage us, what's it going to do? Discourage us. And God has already spoken to us this morning about that. We have to cast that off. But it's so much easier to cast that thought out than to cast out the discouragement when it's upon you. Now, it's not that it's not possible. We can do it in God, in his presence. But it's a lot easier when it's in our thoughts. And then the third one, just. Is it just? Is it righteous? Does this thought flow with God's law of righteousness? Now, of course, this is his law. Sometimes we think, well, I think this is right. It seems right to me, right in my own sight. You know, that's what Israel did in the time of Judges, right? But that's when they were doing everything that was right in their own eyes. They had some thoughts of what they thought was right, but it was, you know, really they were getting destroyed because they were doing what's right in their sight. And so we have to have our thoughts lined up to what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And we want to think on those things that are just. Problem is, his ways are higher than ours, aren't they? Sometimes we just don't know in a situation what's right and what's wrong, and we have to come to God. Lord, is this just? Is this right? You know, sometimes we see it, people's lives, and we make our judgments and say, well, that's not right for sure. And then we go to God and God says, that's too high for you. You stop thinking about that. And we want to be mindful of that. Sometimes we make our judgments, but we want to make sure, well, is this my judgment or is this God's judgment? And sometimes we have to put it aside and not think on those things because it can cause things to rise up in our hearts against, you know, our brothers and sisters. So we want to think, what is just? Even with ourselves, sometimes we can give ourselves a hard time, right? Of how we're doing and right, what we're doing and so forth. And if we allow those thoughts to rule in us, oh, it's going to discourage us. But you know what? Sometimes when we allow those thoughts to remain and we're agreeing with them, we're really declaring that that's what God is like towards us. That's what He thinks about us. And that kind of puts God in a negative light. Well, I'm no good. I'm messing up. You know, I'm not worthy. But God's not thinking that. Right? We want the thoughts of God towards us. Right? He has thoughts of peace. Right? A good and expected end for us. We want His thoughts. He is just. And He cares for us. He's righteous. Everything He does in our life is good. And so we don't want thoughts in there saying, God, this is not a good situation. Right? We want to be careful of those. We want our thoughts to agree with God's justice and goodness. And then the fourth one, pure. Is this thought clean or chaste? And so we can ask ourselves, is this thought pure? But also, is it going to make me more pure? Is it going to help me to remain pure in God? You know, sometimes we see things in the world that are defiling, but you know, there's also thoughts that are defiling. You know, just thoughts that the enemy would try to sneak past our gate to defile us spiritually. And then we need to get cleansed, right? We have to apply the blood of Christ to our minds. But yet we can learn to identify thoughts that can defile us, that can just make us unclean. You know, of course, there's, you know, morally unclean, but sometimes just thoughts that get into us that just defile us and make us impure. And, you know, we have to get cleansed. But we need to learn to stop those and identify them before they come in. And then lovely, the fifth one, lovely. Is the thought lovely or is it a pleasing thought? And, you know, you can almost look at this as, how will this thought make me act towards other people? Is it lovely and will it cause me to relate to people in a lovely way, in a pleasing way? You know, sometimes people can do things against us and, you know, we can think of ways we can justify giving them a tongue lashing or giving them a nice response that feels good to us. You know, but we want our thoughts to be, how can I be lovely? How can I have a good response towards them? Of course, those thoughts want to come in like, man, you just give it to them. They deserve it. But is it lovely? All right? If the thoughts are lovely, then the words will be lovely. But if the thoughts aren't lovely, then our words are going to be ugly. They won't be pleasant. And so there's that thought of pleasing, lovely. And, you know, that's why we need to learn to meditate. And that's really the key to these, is learning to meditate on what is lovely, on what is pleasing to God. Because that's going to make us pleasing to Him. If we're meditating on things that aren't lovely, that are a little bit of ugly thoughts, it'll make us ugly. And so we must filter those things. And then a good report. I like what one commentator said this about this gate. It says, will this thought cause me to have a good name? Right? Is this going to make me have a good name, or will it spoil my good name? Right? Is it going to affect me if I have this thought and then I let this affect my actions and my words? Is it going to affect my name? And of course, Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You think about the story of the 10 spies and this thought of a good name. What do those 10 spies have? What kind of a name do they have? Right? It's kind of like, you know, their name is Mud. You know, kind of like the doctor. Yeah, that doctor set the bone of John Wilkes Booth and his broken leg. His name was, I think it's Samuel Mud. Well, he was convicted along with everyone else for helping and aiding and abetting. You know, and he didn't even know any better. But his name is now Mud. It's synonymous. Right? And so we want to have a good report, or it'll affect our name. Right? If we're bringing bad reports, or we're confessing things that aren't true and aren't right, if it's not a good report, it affects our name and who we are in God's sight. And so we want to think of those thoughts that are going to encourage obedience, encourage faith. Caleb and Joshua made that choice. I'm going to choose to look at this situation in a good way. That gave them a good name, didn't it? Out of all their generation, they're the only two that had a good name because they had a good report. And so we want to think on those things that I'm going to choose to look at this in a good way, according to faith, according to trusting God and hope. Then the seventh, if there's any virtue, right? Is this virtuous? Is it morally excellent? But it goes beyond just being true. But is it an excellent thought? Right? Sometimes you just have a thought and it's true, and it's not a bad thought, but is it an excellent thought? Is it going to spur us to excellence in God? You know, sometimes you watch the news and it's like, well, this is true, but I don't really want to rehash this over and over again, all, you know, around and around and around. It's just not virtuous. It's not excellent. It kind of relates to that. Is it a worthy thought? It's not. If it's not worthy and if it's not excellent, then we don't want to give our time to it. Criticism can be based on the truth, can it? But it's not an excellent thought. It's definitely not worth our time. You know, we fall short when we give place to criticism, even when it's true. It's not morally excellent to think on that. And so instead, we want to think on what will build up others up, what will edify us, what will edify others. That is a morally excellent thought, and we want to think on that. And then the last, if there be any praise. You know, praise is really has to do with lifting up the name of God. God said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, he needs a lot of people to think thoughts that are going to lift him up. Because if we think it, then we'll speak it. And it's lifting him up. Is this thought praiseworthy? Will it lift God higher up in our lives and in our walk with others? You know, ultimately, a thought is going to lift us up or bring us down. And so we got to think, man, is this thought, it's true. I can't see anything like unvirtuous with it, but what's it going to do? Is it lifting my eyes up, or is it keeping my eyes down here? Well, if it's not lifting my eyes to God, then I need to get that out, and I need to think on and meditate and actively search out what can I think on that will lift my eyes unto the King. Because once, you know, once we lift our eyes up, we start going there. In fact, I think it was one of the convention messages, I think it's Dave Krupp saying, wherever I look at my eyes when I'm driving, I tend to go that way. Right? But it's so important. It's true. Where we lift our eyes up in our thought life, we're gonna go that way. And so that's why we want to, if there's any praise, think on that, because it will lift you up. And so if we purpose to pass all of our thoughts through the eight gates of our mind, right, the ultimate end is we'll be lifted up to a higher walk with the Lord. And so let's cry out for this. We don't often cry out for, Lord, give me the anointing of the spirit of a sound mind. But we need it, because it's a strong mind. It's a disciplined mind. God wants to give us. Sometimes we don't like that D word, disciplined. But there's another D word that we need, disciples. And we want to be disciplined ones for Christ in our mind. Because it's going to bring us to, you know, that's an anointing of victory, of liberty. God can touch us. You know, sometimes we have trouble in our thoughts. You know, sometimes I'll even be worshiping the Lord. I'll be standing here ready to speak, you know, worshiping the Lord. And all of us, I'm thinking about what that thing I got to do next week. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, Lord. Ah, I got to get back to up there, out of down here. You know, it's training ourselves and crying out for His Spirit to help us. God can touch us and give us strength. He can transform our thinking. And when He does that, He'll transform our lives. Father, we thank You. Thank You for the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, how You're saying through the Apostle Paul here, You want to give us a strong and overcoming thought life. Lord, we just confess to You at times, Lord, that we're weak in this area. Lord, we allow thoughts to come in and they're not edifying. Sometimes they're not even true. Lord, we ask for Your help. Help us, Lord, to think on those good things. Lord, help us to enforce these gates in our minds by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, it's not by our strength that we can do it, but it's by Your Spirit. Would You help us? Lord, cause us to be edified and to be lifted up through our thoughts. Train us to cast out the thoughts that are going to bring us down, and cause us to meditate on those things that will lift us up, we ask. Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, and in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.